How's everybody doing? Welcome back to another episode of The Banker Next Door. I am your host, Dr. Joe Berquist. Today, we're continuing the crypto series with part seven. We're going to be looking at some crazy story with a couple of the executives at Binance. And then we're also going to be talking a little bit about how BlackRock has fallen in love potentially with Bitcoin. So before we get into the topic, though, today, I just wanted to talk a little bit about the crypto series. So if you're not familiar with it, or if you haven't watched any of the past episodes, so I kind of started out the series talking about just the origins of Bitcoin, the origins of cryptocurrency, where did it come from, how did it start, and we carried that story all the way up through the crypto crash of 2022, and then I hypothesized basically how I felt that crypto crash of 2022 led into the banking crisis that we saw in the spring of last year in 2023 and led to the failure of what I called the three crypto banks. After that, I ended up doing a review of a documentary that was on Netflix called BitCon, which if you haven't had a chance to watch that, or if you haven't had a chance to go look at my review video, it's a great entertaining story. It was only like an hour and a half documentary. So if you get a chance, I definitely recommend you go and check it out. So that's kind of what I've done so far with the crypto series. And what I look for is kind of like these entertaining stories, as we go through this, because I things that I see that I think people will find, you know, really interesting. So let's bring this up first. So this is the first article right here called Crypto Gets Blamed for Real Life Currency Crisis. So what happened here in a nutshell was a couple of Binance executives were asked to come down to Nigeria. Nigeria was having a problem, a problem in their economy, you know, and they asked them, they said, hey, will you come down and help us? So these gentlemen go down there and then they end up getting detained. The Nigerian government detains them and basically says, you are responsible for crashing our currency. And, which is kind of a crazy story. Now, Nigeria has been going through a lot of craziness recently. Their government changed hands last year from one regime to another. And in the process of all that, you know, Nigeria, it says in here that Nigeria became the country has the second highest adoption of crypto in the world after India. According to an index compiled by Chain Analysis, a data provider, Nigerians received about $60 billion worth of crypto transactions in the 12 months through June of 2022. And because the government rationed who could exchange the local currency for the dollar and at what exchange rate, many sought refuge in digital currencies pegged to the US dollar known as stablecoins. The stablecoin trade, in essence, became a black market, displaying an unofficial exchange rate between the local currency, the Naira, and the dollar that was much weaker than the government's rates. Binance, the most popular exchange, became the go-to place to check that black market rate, according to currency traders. Now, but then they were accused, the president of Nigeria accused Binance of setting the exchange rate for Nigeria and hijacking the role of the central bank. So now, so these gentlemen go down there, they get detained. They haven't really been explained exactly like what it is they're being detained for. They haven't as of yet been actually charged with any crimes. I think a lot of the questions come in here at unknown things like did these gentlemen, obviously Binance has had kind of its own regime change with the former CEO stepping down as he's trying to skirt prosecutions and you know, getting charged with all kinds of charges from the SEC and everything else. So they have a new CEO there. I'm sure he's brought in some new people. So were these gentlemen, you know, had they been there at Binance for a while? Were they involved with the Nigerian government for a number of years, which kind of led up to them, you know, getting the call back here? Are they, you know, kind of innocent bystanders in this? I mean, I think there's just a lot of questions there as to what's going on. The other thing is that, I mean, Nigeria is a mess. Nigeria's got all kinds of problems. And you're really going to, you know, bring these two guys back and blame the whole thing on them? That seems to be a little bit of a stretch. But I think there's a lot of things to play out here. And I will say, like, I feel for these guys. I mean, I think it's very scary. You know, you get called to a foreign country, especially a country like Nigeria, which is, you know, not known for having a fair, you know, court system of any kind, you know, and, you know, you're, you know, who knows what's going to happen to these guys now. So, another crazy crypto story to keep an eye on. And I'll certainly keep an eye on this for updates and see kind of what happens and what this continues to bring. But just crypto, this is the thing about crypto. Like there's just no shortage of these kind of wild stories that just keep coming up again and again and again and again. So, and with that, let's switch gears for a second here. Let's go to this article. So, how Bitcoin made a believer out of BlackRock. So CEO Larry Fink's U-turn illustrates Wall Street's growing desire to capitalize on a market long considered the Wild West of finance. So BlackRock is now in love with Bitcoin, seemingly. So what's interesting here is that Larry Fink, the CEO, he called Bitcoin an index of money laundering back in 2017 and later rebuffed cryptocurrencies as something his clients weren't looking to buy. Today, he says he is a big believer in Bitcoin. His firm manages the fastest growing Bitcoin fund and has forged partnerships with some of the largest players in the digital asset industry. The U-turn Fink is making at BlackRock has lent legitimacy to Bitcoin and signals Wall Street's growing desire to capitalize on a market that has long been considered the Wild West of finance. By selling Bitcoin in a low-cost and popular exchange-traded fund, BlackRock opened the door for mainstream investors to buy and sell Bitcoin as easily as stocks. We view a core part of our mission as providing choices and access. Rod Goldstein, BlackRock's chief operating officer, said in an interview, this is an important topic for our clients. Okay, fair enough. But let's, I'll just point out, I am putting links to both these articles in this description below if you, choose to go check them out. But let's talk about this for a second here. So undoubtedly, BlackRock has seen they've got a path here to make some easy money, right? Like the Bitcoin ETFs got hot. Everybody was watching Grayscale for the last year or two, trying to see like, okay, are they going to get approved? And they did get approved. And then everybody else, hopped into that bandwagon real quick. I just find it very interesting. I would not put my money into these ETFs because I think there's a lot of questions here. Where are they getting the Bitcoin from? Where are they getting it from? Are they getting it from Coinbase? Are they getting it from Binance? They get it from FTX? Where's it coming from? Who are these big players in the digital asset space that they're dealing with? I think that's a legitimate question. Where's the Bitcoin? Who's holding the Bitcoin? Is this something that they're holding? Are they holding it through a third party? If Bitcoin takes a dump again, what are you going to do? What's your recourse? Are you going to be able to sell, or are they going to stop people from selling if things aren't going well because of how things run through this ETF with the third party? There's a lot of questions here that I would have before I would feel comfortable putting in here. And here's the bigger thing. There's a couple bigger issues. Number one is, All these cryptocurrency exchanges have proven to be total frauds. Every one of them, FTX, Binance, Coinbase. I wouldn't trust any of these companies, any of them, until they can prove over time that they are worthy of their customers' trust. They don't deserve it. So who are they dealing with this? I think that's some big questions there. The other thing is the regulation around cryptocurrency. Regulators have been posturing here for a couple of years now about, oh, we're going to regulate this and we're going to regulate that. And they're looking at the stable coin and they want to do this and they want to do that and everything, but it's been all talk. Nothing has happened. So, when regulation finally does kick in, is what effect, if any, is that going to have on these ETFs? Is that going to impact their performance? And Bitcoin has been going through the roof right now because people are looking at it partially as a hedge against the dollar. Like people are running away from the dollar. It's the same reason why gold is jumping up, because people think the Federal Reserve is doing a horrible job and that the economy is not that great. And so they want to hedge their bets. So they're buying gold and they're buying Bitcoin. That's where people are keeping their money. And it's right now, it's a good, those things are both going up. It's a decent investment. So I just think there's a lot of questions here to ask. There's a lot of things to keep our eye on, and we'll just see how things go. But again, a lot of things happening in the crypto world. There's definitely a lot of things I want to look at. I'm planning on, I've been working on an episode for central bank digital currency, which I'm hoping to roll out here maybe in the next week or two. We'll see what happens. But keep an eye out for that. That's not going to be part of the crypto series. That'll be a separate, that'll be its own, you know, standalone episode that I'm going to do there. But I will continue the crypto series as long as these kind of stories are out there, as long as I find stuff that's entertaining that I think people will find interesting. And so I'll keep that rolling. And I'll definitely bring updates on these two executives from Binance as more information comes in and we find out a little bit more about what's going on there. So, anyway, if you like this episode, please make sure to like, share, and subscribe. That always helps the channel. Please make sure to leave your comments down below. I try to get back to people as quick as I can. And please make sure to go and check out some of the other episodes that I posted this weekend. And I will be back to talk to everybody again real soon. Thanks a lot.